Forever. And I'd like to read several verses there. I'll start reading in verse 15. Paul, as we've been studying in our midpoint Bible study, he makes prayers of thanksgiving for the things that God is doing in a particular church. All the churches that Paul established were given special gifts by God. They were given special colors and characters and graces of the Spirit. And each church was just a little different, had different abilities and strengths. And he would, and then Paul would come and write his letters, and he would be so thankful for what God is doing in that church, and pointing out to them in his thanks and gratitude to God for the special gifts and the special ministries that the churches were given to minister to their community in. And then he would go into great detail and dissertation on how they could take that gift and make it better. Of all the churches, the Corinthian church was the most blessed with supernatural gifts and signs. And I don't want to say this for sure, but I wanted to say that that's the church that he said, we don't want you to come behind in any gift. But they had so many gifts. It was their blessing from God. The Ephesian church is a little different. So let's read about them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, in the King James I'm reading, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I want to speak to you for just a few moments today on this topic. Do you see what I see? Lord, we're thankful, God, again for the presence of your Spirit here. We felt it in our Bible class when we talked about our testimonies and the things that you have done in our lives and the way that you saved us from sin. We felt it in the worship and the moving of the Holy Spirit there. And I pray we'll continue to feel the word even now, O God, as we share this message with the congregation. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you see what I see? A song, a Christmas song written. Do you hear the title of it? Is do you hear what I hear? And it goes like this. Said the night wind to the little lamb. Everybody? Do you see what I see? Okay? So I'll give it a new set. Said the night wind to the little lamb. Way up in the sky, little lamb. A star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. The next one is, do you hear what I hear? Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
Hear what I hear.
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy.
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the trees with a voice as big as a sea. Do you know what I know? Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king.
Do you know what I know?
In your palace, warm and mighty king.
Do you know what I know?
The Marty. A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Listen to what I say. Said the king to the people everywhere.
Do you know what I know?
Listen to what I say. Said the king to the people everywhere. Listen to what I say. Said the king to the people everywhere.
Listen to what I say.
Pray for peace, people everywhere.
Listen to what I say.
The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. What I feel in the Holy Ghost is that for myself, sometimes we just preach from ourselves and from what we're going through. Paul said to the Ephesian church, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love that you have for the church and the saints. And I'm praying for you that God may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul said, I'm praying that you'll grow more and more in knowing who Jesus is. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I feel that the Lord wants to reveal some things to us. The word revelation in the Greek is apocalypse, where we get our English word apocalypse. It means to reveal or to uncover. I believe that God is wanting to uncover some things to us. To show us things. Give us wisdom and knowledge of who He is, what He is doing, what He wants to do, what He wants us to become. God is always trying to reveal Himself to us. And God is trying to reveal ourselves to us. People in our society are always trying to find themselves. The church is always trying to find that thing. What we need to do is we need to find Jesus. Amen. And I'm not talking to sinners today. I'm talking to the church. Amen. The church needs to find Jesus. Amen. In the Old Testament, when the Jews... we talked earlier about how the Lord brought them out of the bondage of slavery. 400 years they had spent, many of those years had spent in cruel bondage and slavery. And Moses spoke to the people. They came out with great, powerful miracles. And God was showing Himself to the world, proving Himself to Pharaoh and to the nation of Egypt, and revealing mercifully to those pagan people, there is only one God. Amen. And He has the power and the control over everything. And I think Pharaoh got it. I think he figured it out. But the people, it seems, that were the most dense. Now, we read the Bible there, and it says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And He hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And we read how hard-hearted that Pharaoh was, and how stubborn he was in the presence of the miraculous, mighty power of God. But I think of all the people that were present in Egypt at that time, Pharaoh wasn't the most stubborn, hard-hearted person there. And Moses brought the people out through the Red Sea, manna from heaven, water from the rock, quail from heaven, brought them to the mountain in Sinai, gave them the commandments, and brought them to the brink of the promised land. And time and again, the people of Israel could not see what God was trying to do. And I don't know if they were looking for the wrong things. The Bible says that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham was looking for, I don't know what the Jews were looking for, but obviously they weren't looking for what God was trying to bring them to. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, and everybody, all men over the age of 20 years of age, died in the wilderness because they refused to see and to believe in the mighty hand and power of God. And finally, after 40 years, and all of those faithless men died, except for two, Joshua and Caleb, then they came in back to the promised land again. And Moses said to the people before they passed over Jordan, until this day, all these years, until this day, God hasn't given you eyes that can see, ears that can hear, or hearts that can understand. The Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Later on, after the Jews were in the promised land for many, many, many years, kings came and went. And God did many miraculous things, came and went, but the hardness of the hearts of the people remained. Something about wealth, something about riches, something about the blessings of God tends to harden the heart of man, tends to distract the eyes of the flesh and get our eyes off of God and our eyes on the things of the world. Jesus quotes in Matthew chapter 13, telling the parable of the sower. He quotes Isaiah chapter 6, 9, and 10. And he said to Isaiah, I said, who's going to go preach for me? Who am I going to send to this hard-hearted, blind, deaf people? And Isaiah said, I'll go, I'll preach. And the Lord said, then go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. I don't know why it is that we as believers sometimes are so blind to what God wants to do. And I can feel that in my own spirit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're praying and you're stretching your faith and you're trying to see further, but it's like the apostle said, we're looking into a dark mirror and the reflections are distorted and twisted. We think we see something, but we can't quite make it out. Can I get an amen from anybody today? And how many of you feel the frustration of that when you go to the prayer closet and you're praying about this and you're praying about that? All of these things. I think sometimes we just need to spend more time in the prayer closet. Sometimes I just think we need to stay there longer and linger and not be in such a hurry to leave the presence of the Lord until the Lord shows us things and we see things in the spiritual realm. God is able to open our eyes. God is able to do great and mighty things, but sometimes we are so blind to it, and even while it's happening all around us, and we're so easily distracted with the things of the world and the things of our flesh, there seems like there's a battle going on. I'm thinking of Samson today. God gave him the commission to judge the people of Israel. He gave him mighty, miraculous power where he could strike down with a donkey's skull. He could strike down 1,000 Philistine soldiers without even a sword in his hand. And he could tear iron gates, Brother Marty, off of the city. Off of a walled city, he could tear iron gates off and carry him up to a high hill and do all sorts of amazing feats of strength. But in all of that, he could not see what God was trying to bring him to. He could not see the purpose of his ministry and his calling. And he was constantly distracted. He was drawn to drink the wine and get drunk and have parties. And he was drawn to the beauty of the form of the woman's body and all of that. And he was just constantly, he was drawn to things that were forbidden, touching the dead and animals and beasts and other things. And he was always breaking the rules. And he just couldn't see what God was trying to show him. And it was like the mindset that says, well, you better do what God says. And I agree with what Brother Phillips saying, you know, sometimes the Lord takes his belt off and uses it on us. And we're thankful because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, if the Lord doesn't correct us and discipline us, then we are not his children. But if we are his children, he shows his love that he corrects us to keep us from doing the wrong things. But I think sometimes our mindset is God is making me do this, and I have to do this, or I'll get in trouble. And we don't have a perspective on what is really happening. And God is, it's not that we have to do it or else, but that not only is it, well, if it's not or else, well, it's just the best thing to do. And God may let you do whatever you want to do, but it's better if you do what he does, because it's a better way. It's even deeper than that. God's way is more enjoyable. God's way is more peaceful. God's way is more fulfilling and satisfying. It's seeing with a greater vision and ability. Sometimes it's like I don't see very well. I don't have 20/20 vision anymore. And I did when I was younger, but I don't now. And it seems like the eyes always get a little bit worse. And I feel, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but sometimes I feel cross-eyed because it's been over a year since I got my prescriptions changed. And now my left eye is my strong eye, my right eye is my weak eye. I can't see far. I have distance problems. I'm nearsighted. But now when I look at distance, my left eye is blurry, and my right eye, my weak eye, can see way down there. But now I have these bifocal things, and so now when I look out the bottom, it goes like this. You don't know how many people I'm talking about. And I got one eye that can see good up close in the bottom of the bifocal, but the other eye can't see, and it's just the opposite. So the left eye can't see far, but the right eye can. And the left eye can see close, but the right eye can't. And you're going, boy, I sure need to get a prescription, but I sure don't feel like spending $500 on it right now. And every time you get $500, it can spend on something else. Hallelujah. And 20, you know what 20/20 vision is? 20/20 vision is what a normal person can see at 20 feet. And when your vision is bad, what somebody can see at 20 feet, you have to get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And you can watch Sister Rose when she's looking at something. She was close. Frustrated. And those of you that have perfect eyesight, you should be grateful and thankful for that. It's a blessing and a gift from the Lord. And Solomon warns us about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. When the keepers of the gate grind low and the shades come down and you can no longer see out the window. And he talks about that. Remember your Creator when you're young, before the evil days come and you have no pleasure in them. But the ability to see. And I believe that it's a great distinction, a great correlation between the way we can see with our human eyes and the way that we can see with our spiritual eyes. The ability to see things in the spiritual realm. The ability to see what God is getting ready to do. The ability to see what God is calling us to. We frustrate ourselves. If we've studied on the Apostle Paul, He tried to go into Asia to preach, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit forbid him to go. And he tried to go a different way into Asia, and the Holy Spirit forbid him to go. And then as he was sleeping and meditating and just trying, I can't see what you want me to do, God. Why? You don't want me here. You don't want me here. Show me where to go. And then he saw a vision of a man saying, come over to Macedonia. And he was, God gave him spiritual enlightenment. He drew the covers back and revealed what is about to happen and what needed to happen. And according to the testimony of Brother McFarland that was here, who knows, but that the man that he saw in his vision was actually a man that he met when he got to Europe and went into Philippi. Who knows? God doesn't just show us random things for nothing, but it's a reason and a purpose. You remember Missionary McFarland was here and ran into a man when he got over to, I believe it's Ireland, is that where he's from? Mission working and that he ran into a man and said, I was praying and God showed me a vision of you. And when I saw you on the street preaching, I knew that God was leading me to you. And you see what I'm saying? God already had a plan in place. God already had people in place. God already was working and doing things. But Brother McFarland was giving his testimony. He didn't see it. You remember? And he was mad because he got egged and he was out in the garage throwing his luggage and complaining. You know how guys do. He didn't say he was cussing, but you never know, Brother Philip, how things work out sometimes. And Lord might be listening, so I won't use a big cuss word, but I'll just use a little one. Oh, God. But he didn't see at the time what God was leading him into. And sometimes it's the enemy creating darkness around us. Sometimes it's our flesh and our sins that blind us to what God is trying to do. Sometimes it's our pride and whatever that may be. But God is trying to give the people in the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church, us that are here today, the ability to see things in the spiritual realm that God is getting ready to do, that God is planning to do. And if our hearts are tender and our spirits are open, we can receive revelation from God. But if our hearts are hard and we're stubborn and we refuse to accept, the Lord told Isaiah, he said, when you preach, the people's vision is going to get worse. And their hearing is going to get worse. And their hearts are going to get harder because of your preaching. And the more you preach, Isaiah, the more stubborn the people are going to be. Jesus quotes this very passage in Matthew chapter 13 when he was telling the parable of the sower and the seed. And then after he told the parable, the disciples said, how come you speak to the people in parables? And what did he say? Because seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. God wants to open our eyes and show us things in the Spirit. And so what did God have to do to get Samson's attention? What did God have to do to Samson to get him to see his call as it really was? Take all of his power, all of his miraculous energy, literally have his physical eyes poked out. His days of ogling were over. And then, in abject humility and servitude, chained to a grinding mill with animals, that he began to truly see. And it seems like a pattern in the Bible. And so Paul is saying this when he says, I'm praying for the church in Ephesus. I'm praying for you, that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In the New Living Translation, it says that your heart would be flooded with light to really, truly understand what the hope of the calling is. Who else do you remember that got blinded because he was unable to see what God was trying to show him? We talked about recently about the Apostle Paul and how that he was so vigorous and that he was so passionate and zealous. I remember that from my Bible class today. For persecuting the church and stopping anybody that would try to pervert the Jewish way. And God had to strike him down with blindness to get his attention. And the only thing that Paul could see when he was blinded was a vision of the glorified, resurrected, risen Jesus Christ. He said, "He appeared to me." We need to get that kind of light and that kind of focus in our lives to where that we can't see anything else. We can't hear anything else. We don't understand anything else. People start telling dirty jokes. You don't understand the joke. You don't even, you're just like, what are you talking about? Or they start, you know, getting angry about something or other, you know. And I'm always watching. We go to the men's breakfasts and things. I'm always watching the men closely to watch their attitude. How are they going to treat the waiter and the waitress? How are they going to act? Are they going to bring a praise and a glory to Jesus and a good reputation to the church? Or am I going to be embarrassed to know them? Hallelujah. Saul, you can't see anything. You can't hear anything. You can't understand anything but that I am Jesus and you are persecuting me. Well, they didn't bring out, my coffee got cold. Well, you have two choices when your coffee's cold. You can ask for another cup, or you can persecute Jesus. Just think about that the next time you're mean to the waiter or waitress in the restaurant. You're persecuting Jesus. Just think about that the next time you yell at your husband or your wife, or you treat them badly or whatever, and you treat them in ways that they shouldn't really. Just think about that. You're persecuting Jesus. We need to be able to see in the spiritual realm what it is that we are actually doing here, what it is that we are actually talking about here, and understand the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and allow the light of God to flood our souls and our minds to the point to where all we can see is Jesus in front of us all the time. Wouldn't that be a powerful motivation? The Bible says that it, Paul said to the Corinthian church in chapter 4 in the NIV, if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It reminds me of the martyrdom of Stephen, the first martyr of the church after Christ's ascension. And what was it said of him? That as he spoke to the Jews, that his face shone like an angel. All Stephen could see as he stood at death's door was Jesus glorified to the right hand of the Father, powerful, almighty, victorious. To have that sort of revelation. David said in Psalm 119, verse 8, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." God raised Jesus from the dead, from the grave. That is the power that lives and dwells inside of us. Amen? To see that, to understand that, to grasp hold of that, and to let it rule and reign our thoughts and our minds and our words and the understanding of our heart. Everything is colored by Jesus. This has been a great year in our adult Bible class. We've been studying for some time. We hit lesson 45 today, studying on growing in Christ. And it has been a great time, tumultuous, challenging time. And the questions and the thoughts and the scriptures that we have all read have challenged us to grow in our walk with God. And so that is the challenge that we are still faced with today. And I have something that I want to hand out to you. I didn't come with a fancy message today. Well, I could have done that easily. Calm and yelling and screaming today. I think a lot of times we go home and we don't even remember what was preached. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But God is calling the church back into a more personal relationship with Him. Amen. He said that when the Lord looks into the secret of the prayer closet, then He will hear us there and reward us openly. Amen. God has rewards that He wants to share with the church, things that He wants to do. Amen? Amen. Challenging us, wanting to open our eyes and show us things in the spiritual realm. How many of you would like to experience a deeper connection with God?
Amen. Yes.
To walk in Him in a way that you can feel His heart.
Amen.
That you can hear His voice. That you can see things through His eyes. How many of you would like to grow in your relationship with God? I was praying the other day and I was like, God, sometimes we just need to be pruned. And I said, God, just prune me so that I can go through another season of fruitfulness in my ministry. I feel like my ministry is in a time and a season where there's been a season of fruitfulness and growth, but then there's been a time where it just got wild and needs to be pruned back. It needs to be prepared. It needs to be dug up and fertilized again so that ministry can go into another fruitful season. I believe the Lord is ready to take the church, the Jesus name Pentecostal church, into another fruitful season. Amen? And so in order for that to happen, there has to be some fertilizing, there has to be some watering, and there has to be some pruning. And I've been preaching mildly and easily for several weeks now, right? But I feel that there's going to be some pruning messages coming in the first of the year to challenge the church, to challenge all of us to live up to walk worthy of, to measure up to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Amen.
And in order to do that, it's going to take a little bit of work on our part. In order to do that, it's going to take a little bit of a challenge. Yeah. We're going to have to read our Bibles more. We're going to have to read our Bibles every day. Yeah. It's going to have to become like food. It's going to have to become like sleep. It's going to have to become something that we do every day. Regardless of whether it's assignment or not. Regardless of whether it's a part of the plan or not. I don't care if it's a verse that you memorize and meditate on all day. I don't care if it's one chapter. I don't care if you read a whole book. We have got to read the Word of God. And we have got to pray, pray, pray like we have never prayed before. We have got to learn to talk to and to communicate with our God until He not only shows us what He wants to do, but He shows us how He's going to do it. And then He shows us when He's going to do it and who's going to be involved with it. Because God doesn't just give us a big picture, but He will give us the details as well. And God wants us to dig into Him deeper and deeper this year. I wrote an article for the newsletter that came out this December. Read your Bible and pray every day. A lot of people have New Year's resolutions and things that they want to do. And I just want to challenge the church today, the first 100 days of 2016, to read your Bible and pray every single day. Kind of, I sound like a president, don't I? For the first 100 days, this is what I'm going to do. For the first 100 days of 2016, read at least one chapter in the Bible, if not more, and pray at least 20 minutes, if not more, every single day. We're gonna get a streak going of praying and reading our Bibles. And I brought something today that you can put on your... How many of you have magnets and things hanging on your refrigerator, pictures and drawings and calendars and stuff? I brought something that you can put on your refrigerator to remind you. It is the graphic that we used in our newsletter article for December. Read your Bible, pray daily. And it wouldn't hurt us to have other goals as well. You know what? Some of us aren't healthy. We're struggling physically. And it puts a drag on our spiritual life. And there are other things, and we're struggling in all sorts of ways. And I feel in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to do some pruning preaching here this coming year at the beginning to try to encourage the church to stop settling for mediocrity and settling for things that are just average or okay, and start reaching for greater things and for the things that are excellent in the kingdom of God. So, Brother Philip and Brother John, why don't you guys grab these and pass them out to the people. Just leave the extras in the back. You can put these, you can take them as you want. If we run out, I'll just print more. That shouldn't be a problem. And this year I read the Professor Horner's Bible reading program. I handed that out to you. Many of you, I don't think anybody, did anybody join me in the Professor Horner's Bible reading program? So I said, what are you talking about? And the program is to read 10 chapters in the Bible a day from 10 different books in the Bible a day. And you do that for 250 days and reading a total of 2,500 chapters in the Bible. And it's been great, a challenge, something. But I don't feel like, now, Sister Lois, I've done that. Now I've got to do something bigger in 2016. And how many of you have heard of the 90-day Bible?
Yes.
We've got a copy of the 90-day Bible in our house. I'm feeling led in that direction. And trying to jump into that and really accelerate Bible reading this year that is coming up. We just need to read it more, dig into it more, and we need to pray more. For the next 100 days, read your Bible and pray every single day. Keep track of it on the calendar. Write it down. Check it off. And if you have to do it before you go to bed, if you have to drink a massive pot of coffee because you're too busy to get it done, do it before you go to bed. You know, 20 minutes. People watch that many commercials in one TV show. There's an average of 15 to 20 minutes of commercials in one TV show. Do you think we can pray for 20 minutes?
Yes. Amen.
You think you could read your Bible? It takes, if you listen to it, the average chapter takes about 4 minutes to listen to. You think you could give Jesus 4 minutes of your day and listen to one chapter?
Amen.
Oh, I think you could do a whole lot better than that. You could read... If you read four chapters, that's 20 minutes. And guess what? Four chapters is just about. You do that, you read the Bible all the way through. And I say, well, I get started in Genesis, and then I get to Exodus, and then I get to Leviticus, and then I start falling off the bandwagon. Well, do something more exciting. Read a proverb along with that. Read a psalm every day. Read a chapter from the New Testament every day. You don't have to do it the same way all the time. We need to pray and read our Bibles. That's what Christians do. Because we read about God, and then we talk to Him about what we read. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We worship Him. We thank Him. We need to grow and challenge ourselves in 2016. Y'all pray for me. One of my challenges in 2016 is going to be to start a run streak. And I've always been a casual runner. And what that simply means is I run whenever I feel like it. And when I don't feel like it, I don't run. And sometimes I feel like it more than I don't feel like it. And I think sometimes that's the kind of Christian I am. And I think sometimes that's the kind of Christian the church is. We pray when we feel like it. We don't pray when we don't feel like it. We read when we feel like it. We don't read when we don't feel like it.